Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, January 25th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
President Biden faces more pushback over stimulus plans.
The White House restricts travel to the U.S. as new virus strains emerge.
A former Trump official takes aim at the administration's pandemic response.
And a new flashpoint emerges in U.S.-China relations.
The House today is sending the Senate the article of impeachment against former President Trump, plus Mexico's president announces he has COVID-19. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshower in sports. The Super Bowl will be Tom Brady in Tampa Bay hosting Kansas City. Knicks and Rangers both lost.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 991 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers Stock Yield Enhancement Program. Earn extra income on the fully paid shares of stock in your brokerage account. Open an Interactive Brokers account today and learn more at ibkr.com/syep.
And U.S. futures are higher to start the week, 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up about 13 points, Dow futures up 15, NASDAQ futures up 127, 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.07%, yield on the 2-year 0.12%, and NYMEX crude oil is up 1%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in D.C., where the White House is getting more pushback on its stimulus plan. The price tag is the biggest sticking point, but there are other hurdles. Amy Morris has the very latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
During a call that the White House describes as initial outreach, lawmakers expressed support for funding the vaccines, the testing and tracing, but Republicans questioned the inclusion of a proposed federal minimum wage increase. White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain says that is part of economic relief. Republican Senator Susan Collins suggested a more targeted package, and independent Senator Bernie Sanders backed the use of reconciliation to pass a bill without Republican support. In Washington, I'm Amy Morris, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Amy, thank you. The haggling over a stimulus package was on full display on Sunday talk shows. Democratic Senator Dick Durbin was a guest on NBC's Meet the Press.
Let's get down to business, roll up our sleeves, and pass this rescue package that deals with getting these vaccines out across America as quickly as possible, giving help to people who are unemployed, and giving businesses a helping hand.
Meantime, Republicans continue to criticize the cost of President Biden's $1.9 trillion plan, plus measures they say are not tied to the pandemic. Republican Senator Mike Rounds was also on Meet the Press.
The bigger issue here is whether or not we're going to be specific on COVID relief. If you want to do those other items such as that, then let's break it out. Let's separate it out, take the time, and do it correct. But let's go back in and focus once again on COVID relief.
Meet the Press can be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio.
As a relief package takes center stage in politics, the U.S. has passed another milestone in the pandemic. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. John.
And Nathan, total infections have now passed 25 million. That's about 8% of the population. Meantime, health officials are concerned about new mutations of the virus. President Biden's pick for Surgeon General Vivek Murthy was on ABC's This Week, heard on Bloomberg Radio.
We're in a race against these variants. The virus is going to change, and it's up to us to adapt and to make sure that we're staying ahead.
Daily COVID infections are declining in the U.S., but are still elevated. The vaccine effort continues to chug along. So far, the U.S. has administered more than 22 million doses. You can get the latest from our vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. California has been one of the hardest hit states in recent months, but encouraging signs are starting to emerge. And Ed Baxter has more from our Bloomberg 960 newsroom in San Francisco.
Both the daily and the seven-day case count down marginally. The seven-day, the lowest since the middle of last month. The number of hospitalizations and ICU bed occupancy also improving. Los Angeles continues to be the hardest hit area. The really discouraging news is contained in a Bloomberg survey that says, per capita, California is doing the worst job of rolling vaccines in the country. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. As new strains of the virus emerge, President Biden is enacting travel restrictions to slow transmission of the disease. And we get details from Bloomberg's Karen Chase.
The Biden administration is expanding COVID-related travel restrictions to include people who've recently been to South Africa, where a new and potentially more dangerous strain of the virus has been identified. Non-U.S. citizens who've been there will be banned from entering the U.S., along with those from the U.K., Ireland, and 26 European countries. Days before the inauguration, the former Trump administration announced plans to wind down travel restrictions, much to the chagrin of incoming White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki, who tweeted, "This is not the time to be lifting restrictions on international travel." Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Karen, thank you. We're learning more about the pandemic response from inside the Trump administration. Coronavirus Response Coordinator Deborah Birx says misinformation loomed large in the White House and that press conferences often featured data and graphics done in parallel to her work.
I saw the president presenting graphs that I never made. So I know that someone out there or someone inside was creating a parallel set of data and graphics that were shown to the president.
Birx was a guest on Face the Nation from CBS, heard on Bloomberg Radio. She said it was difficult to deliver science-based recommendations to the White House, where some in the administration called the virus a hoax.
Turning away from the pandemic now, U.S.-China relations are in focus this morning. Chinese President Xi Jinping delivers his first speech since Joe Biden entered the White House with remarks at the Davos Agenda event. It could set a fresh tone for relations, though many expect frictions to continue. We spoke with Standard Life Aberdeen Chairman Douglas Flint.
The U.S. will continue to see China as a strategic competitor, and I think that's the right way to think of them.
The Biden administration has signaled it will continue a tough line on China. It's already issued statements blasting Beijing for sanctioning Trump administration officials and for a military show of force against Taiwan. China flew more than a dozen military aircraft into the Taiwan Strait this weekend. Right now, S&P futures are moving higher by 13 points. Dow futures in the green now. They're up 19. NASDAQ futures leading the way this morning, up 127 points, or almost 1%. 10-year Treasury is up 1/32nd. The yield, 1.08% on a 10-year Treasury note. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in New York and around the world. Here's Michael Barr.
Nathan, thank you very much. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo urged worshipers at three churches serving largely black congregations to get vaccinated against COVID-19 as soon as they are able. The Democratic governor said the vaccines that have been approved against the coronavirus will only work if people take them. Cuomo's pre-recorded message was shown Sunday at church video services in Rochester, Brooklyn, and Syracuse.
We all need to trust the vaccine. I know there is skepticism about government and about the Trump administration in particular. Don't get me wrong. I didn't trust many actions of the Trump administration. But this vaccine was reviewed by the best doctors and hospitals in New York State, and it is safe.
Cuomo said his mother and daughters will get vaccinated, and he will as well. There are reports, including from ABC, that New York City is already scaling back some vaccination efforts due to a lack of supply. This week, Citi Field, the Mets baseball stadium, was slated to become the next mega vaccination site, but city officials say they have had to postpone the opening because of vaccine supply shortages at the federal level. The House is set today to deliver the article of impeachment against former President Trump to the U.S. Senate. The single article of impeachment charges Trump with incitement of insurrection after the attack on the Capitol earlier this month. Democratic Senator Bob Menendez of New Jersey on WABC's Up Close had a message for his Republican colleagues.
The question is, do you hold your oath to the Constitution higher than your fealty to President Trump?
Republican Senator Rand Paul spoke on ABC's This Week, heard Sundays on Bloomberg.
What I would suggest is that if we want greater confidence in our elections, and 75% of Republicans agree with me, is that we do need to look at election integrity, and we do need to see if we can restore confidence in the elections.
All cases about election fraud brought up by the Trump administration were lost in court. President Joe Biden will sign an executive order today to boost federal agencies' purchases of U.S. products. It fulfills a campaign pledge to lay out a Buy American plan. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's John Stashar.
Nathan, Tom Brady has done it again 9 times. He won an AFC Championship game with New England. New team, new conference, same result. This time an NFC title. Brady helped the Buccaneers take a 28-10 lead at Green Bay. A stunning touchdown with 1 second left in the first half, and then another TD off a fumble recovery about a minute into the second. But Brady then threw 3 interceptions, and the Packers got close. But Brady and Tampa Bay held on to win. 31-26.
It's a tough journey to get here. So to go on the road and win a, you know, another road playoff game is just a great achievement. And, you know, now home Super Bowl for the first time in NFL history, I think, puts a lot of cool things in perspective. Anytime you're the first time doing something, it's usually a pretty good thing.
Well, it'll be Brady's 10th Super Bowl, 10 of the last 20. Just the second ever for the Bucs, and they had not even been in the playoffs since they won the Super Bowl in 2002. And what a last 5 months it's been in Tampa, winners of a Stanley Cup, an American League pennant, now an NFC Championship. It'll be the Bucs against the Chiefs, who will try to win back-to-back. Kansas City beat Buffalo in the AFC game 38-24. It wasn't even that close. Too much Patrick Mahomes. His top two receivers, Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, combined for 22 catches and 290 yards. Knicks lost in Portland 116-113, despite 31 points off the bench from rookie Emmanuel Quickly. Rangers blew a third-period lead. Pittsburgh scored late and won 3-2. The Devils blanked the Islanders 2-0. The Yankees have traded 4 minor leaguers to Pittsburgh for pitcher Jameson Taillon, who's been injured most of the last 2 seasons. John Stashow with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan.
All right, John, thank you. And the Miami Heat are bringing back fans with help from some dogs. The basketball team's using coronavirus-sniffing canines at American Airlines Arena to screen fans who want to attend the games. Starting this week, there will be a limited number of ticket holders in the seats, provided they get past the dogs. S&P futures up 13 points, Dow futures up 14, NASDAQ futures higher by 127 points. This is Bloomberg. And it's just before 6:12 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Audi. Don't let someone else drive off in the Audi model you've always wanted. Visit a Tri-State Audi dealer to get behind the wheel of yours today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. stock index futures are moving higher this morning as investors continue to focus on the U.S. administration's $1.9 trillion COVID-19 relief plan. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 13 points this morning, Dow futures up 13, and NASDAQ futures are up 127. That's up almost 1%. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. 10-year Treasury up 1/32nd, yield 1.08%, yield on the 2-year 0.12%. NYMEX crude oil is up 1% or 53 cents at $52.80 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.33% or $6.20 at $18.66 an ounce. The euro 1.2156 against the dollar, British pound 1.3691, and the yen is at 103.83. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the House is set today to bring the impeachment article against Donald Trump for the Senate trial, but a growing number of Republican senators say they oppose the proceedings against the former president. House Democrats charge incitement of insurrection. Mexican President Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador said that he tested positive for COVID-19. The 67-year-old president says his symptoms were mild. It is the first time a Super Bowl-bound team will have some home cooking. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers will play in their own stadium against the Kansas City Chiefs for Super Bowl 55. The Chiefs beat the Buffalo Bills to win the AFC title. The Bucs beat the Green Bay Packers to win the NFC title. The Super Bowl is February 7th. NBA action. The Knicks and Wizards lost. The Celtics won. In the NHL, the Devils shut out the Islanders 2-0. The Rangers lost. Capitals lost in a shootout against the Sabres 4-3. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It is 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Want to turn our focus now to the coronavirus, with the number of COVID-19 cases around the world close to the 100 million mark. The U.S. has now passed 25 million confirmed infections, and of course, new variants of the disease are causing continued concern. For the very latest, we're joined this morning by Dr. Amish Adalja, senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. Doctor, it's always great to get your insights, and we've heard so much more about these variants from the UK, Brazil, South Africa. Is there a risk that because they are faster spreading, that they could get ahead of the vaccination effort as slow as that's been progressing?
I definitely think that's the biggest takeaway from the variants, is that we are really in a race because these variants have this capacity to spread more efficiently. You expect them to become more dominant, and we really have to pick up the pace with vaccination in order to stay ahead of this variant. So the appearance of these variants, especially the UK variant, really underscores the need to basically pull out all the stops when it comes to vaccinating Americans and really to make this an all-hands-on-deck warlike effort.
Now, of course, the president's goal that he's set out rhetorically has been 100 million doses in his first 100 days. Is that fast enough?
No, it's not fast enough. And I think when the Biden team came up with that figure, it was unclear how quickly or what pace would the vaccine program proceed at. And we are kind of doing a million doses or so a day. So I think this is something that they'll achieve. But I think we have to go faster if we're going to put an end to this pandemic and stay ahead of the variant. So I think we need to not use that as some kind of speed limit. We have to have no speed limit when it comes to the vaccine.
What does no speed limit mean? And what does pulling out all the stops, as you term it, mean? What would that look like?
Basically, what it would mean is that we move to mass vaccination. Right now, to get vaccinated, it's basically appointment-based and in a very kind of controlled process. We need to make it more like using stadiums, convention centers. We need to move to the models of Israel or the United Arab Emirates, where they've really been able to push forward with vaccine at breathtaking speed. And I think you have to also not allow states to kind of falter. We have to be able to meet states where they are and augment their ability to vaccinate. And that will mean using federal assets like FEMA, the National Guard, making sure states have the money and the coordination to be able to use this vaccine. There has to be a lot more transparency on when doses are going to arrive, because even if there are doses coming, some states are and some vaccine sites are kind of reticent to set up appointments because they don't know how many are coming. They don't know when they're going to come there. So that's causing a lot of difficulties because there's no predictability to it. And then I think, you know, it really has to be something where you can get vaccinated as seamlessly as you get vaccinated for influenza, where you don't have this major issue. Because we know that there are states, for example, that have not even administered all the doses that they have, that there are some in the freezer. That can't be the norm. It's one thing if you're worried about the supply, but if you've got vaccine in the freezer, I think that really is not going to be the paradigm that we need moving forward. We kind of have to follow West Virginia, North Dakota, where they've been able to administer the majority of their doses.
There's been some discussion in some quarters about either lengthening the amount of time between a first and second dose or just letting some people get a first dose to try to speed along the vaccination effort that way. Is that something that makes sense?
I think it's something we have to discuss. We know that probably a week or 10 days after the first dose, you do get some protection and you will see some benefit from it. And I think we're already starting to see that in Israel. And I think you have to think about not allowing, you know, perfect be the enemy of the good. And I think that we have to try and figure out how to be innovative with this. And we know that if you get the second dose late, it's still going to work. We just don't know how long the first dose is going to last and when that protection wears off, because it was only studied in these tight trials where it was 3 weeks for Pfizer, 4 weeks for the Moderna vaccine. So, but I think that if we need to get this vaccine program rolling, and I do think manufacturing is going to be less of an issue. It's more about logistics and delivery. So hopefully, and this is where Operation Warp Speed really did well, is that we'll be able to meet the demand in terms of production. And remember also that we may have a third vaccine hitting the market soon. Johnson & Johnson may be approved by the end of this month, and that's a single-dose vaccine, which will make a lot of these discussions about second doses moot.
Thank you, as always, Doctor. Great having you on with us this morning. Dr. Amish Adalja is a senior scholar at the Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security. So far around the world, about 65.6 million doses of coronavirus vaccine have been administered in 56 countries. That includes 22.4 million shots in the U.S. You can keep track at the Bloomberg Vaccine Tracker. It's online at Bloomberg.com. Futures moving higher on this Monday morning. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly sunny much of today, highs near 40 degrees, occasional light snow tomorrow, mixing with rain or sleet during the afternoon, highs near 35. Rain ends as a few sprinkles Wednesday, back up near 40 degrees.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. President Biden is escalating appeals for Congress to back his pandemic relief plan. Republicans are balking at the $1.9 trillion price tag, plus a move to hike the minimum wage. White House Chief of Staff Ron Klain took to NBC's Meet the Press to push the measure.
The need is urgent. Americans, both Democrats and Republicans, are dying. Kids' schools that take care of both Democratic and Republican kids are closed. People are on unemployment. People are in food lines. That's not a party issue. So I think let's try to move on a bipartisan basis. Let's try to move quickly.
Klain was on Meet the Press, heard on Bloomberg Radio, and sources tell us senior White House aides will speak with lawmakers all week to hear concerns and press for urgent action.
As a relief package takes center stage on Capitol Hill, the U.S. has passed another milestone in the pandemic. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the latest. John.
Nathan, total U.S. infections have now passed 25 million. That's about 8% of the total population. The government is stepping up surveillance of new variants to monitor their impact on vaccines. President Biden's public health team is scanning data from the UK and Israel, where they're rapidly spreading new strains. Daily COVID infections, meantime, are declining in the U.S., but they do remain elevated. And NBC says California could lift a stay-at-home order as early as today. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. As new strains of the virus emerge, the U.S. is expanding travel restrictions to slow the spread. And here with more is Bloomberg's Karen Chase.
People who've recently traveled to South Africa are being added to the list of foreigners being banned from entering the U.S. because of a new and potentially more virulent strain of the virus detected there. The ban already excludes people from the U.K., Ireland, and dozens of countries in Europe where officials are struggling to contain an exceptionally contagious variant of the virus. Karen Chase, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Karen, thank you. Now, turning away from the pandemic, U.S.-China relations are in focus this morning. Chinese President Xi Jinping will deliver his first speech since Joe Biden entered the White House with remarks at the Davos Agenda event. It could set a fresh tone for relations, though many expect frictions to continue. We'll find out in a few minutes here what those remarks from President Xi expected around 7 a.m. Wall Street time.
And futures this morning are higher. S&P futures up about 13 points. Dow futures up 5. NASDAQ futures up 129. And the 10-year Treasury up 2/32, yield 1.07%. Yield on the 2-year, 0.12%. And NYMEX crude oil is up 0.9%. Straight ahead, we have your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo urged worshipers at three churches serving largely black congregations to get vaccinated against COVID-19 as soon as they are able. The Democratic governor said the vaccines that have been approved against the coronavirus will only work if people take them. Cuomo's pre-recorded message was shown Sunday at church video services in Rochester, Brooklyn, and Syracuse. Cuomo says anyone who is eligible to be inoculated should.
My mother, who is 65 plus, will take it. I have my daughters, who I love more than life itself. They will take it when they are eligible. And I will take it also. You should take it too.
Mexican President Andres Manuel López Obrador said he has tested positive for COVID-19. Lopez Obrador, who has been criticized for his handling of Mexico's pandemic, said on Twitter that his symptoms are mild and is isolating at home. Dr. Deborah Birx says she is retiring from public life after being on the Trump coronavirus task force. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports Birx says she found working with President Trump difficult, but had to continue.
Dr. Birx says the job was very hard on her family and her career, but without the correct scientific evidence coming from the president, she stayed with a mission.
How to get that message out when you can't get it out from the head of the country. And that's our job. You don't give up. You can't ever, in any moment when American lives are at stake, say, well, this is just too hard, I'm giving up.
She says there are files of emails that she sent regarding the pandemic, and they will come to light. She says she wishes she would have been more vocal about her concerns. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The House's article of impeachment against former President Donald Trump will be delivered to the Senate today. It will trigger the start of his unprecedented second trial in the chamber. Senators will have to decide whether they believe then-President Trump incited the insurrection against the United States. There's word former Trump press secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders is set to announce today that she's running for governor of Arkansas. Sanders, daughter of former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, will run in the Republican primary to replace Governor Asa Hutchinson, who faces term limits. Global news, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. 6:35 on Wall Street. John Stashower is here with the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. Super Bowl 55, Kansas City at Tampa Bay. The Buccaneers will make history as the first team to play the Super Bowl in their home stadium. They earned it by winning three NFC playoff games on the road, a 31-26 upset win in Green Bay. The Bucs led 28-10 and then held the Packers off. Tom Brady threw three touchdown passes in the first 31 and a half minutes, then three interceptions in a 14-minute span. But the Bucs defense sacked Aaron Rodgers five times, and now Brady, nine Super Bowls with New England and another one with Tampa Bay. Bitter loss for the Rodgers and the Packers, who have now dropped four straight NFC championship games.
This one definitely stings and is going to for a long time, especially the way it played out and the chances that we had and the opportunities to seize that game at various points. This definitely hurts.
Packers fans wondering about Coach Matt LaFleur's decision to kick a field goal with just over 2 minutes left, trailing by eight, rather than have Rodgers try to score a touchdown. The Chiefs went 50 years without going to a Super Bowl and now going back-to-back. Last team to win two straight Super Bowls, Brady and the Patriots, 2003 and 2004. The AFC title game, not all that close, though. Buffalo led 9-0 early on. KC with three second-quarter touchdowns. They led by 23 with 5 minutes left. The final was 38-24. Despite having to play the Super Bowl on the road, the Chiefs will be a three-point favorite. In Portland, the Knicks rally fell short. They trailed by 20 at the half. Lost to the Blazers, 116-113. Damian Lillard scored 39. Rookie Emmanuel quickly had 31 in the loss. In Pittsburgh, late goal by Jake Gensel. Penguins beat the Rangers 3-2. The Devils shut out the Islanders 2-0. The Yankees have acquired pitcher Jameson Taillon from the Pirates. John Stashnower, Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. Of course, Dave, we're getting ready for a very busy week earnings-wise.
Oh, no question. And one of the biggest companies due to report is Apple. The shares are up 2.5% in early trading. The iPhone maker set for a record in advance of fiscal first quarter figures due after Wednesday's close. Now, Raymond James said in the report that consumers appear to prefer more expensive models of the smartphone, and that's going to be a plus for Apple. The firm raised its 12-month share price estimate by $10 to $150. You've also got Microsoft shares up 1.5%. The software maker's fiscal second quarter results are due after tomorrow's close. Bloomberg Intelligence noted in a report that Microsoft's cash is approaching an all-time high after ending the first quarter at $138 billion.
Wow. So those are some earnings coming up later on in the week. What about later today?
Well, we've got Kimberly-Clark due in about an hour or so. The shares are up 2%. Analysts expect the maker of personal care products to report lower earnings for a second straight quarter. That's based on the average estimate in Bloomberg survey. Flip side is they expect sales to be up 3% on average. And you have Cleveland Cliffs already out with results. Those shares higher by 8.5%. The steel and iron ore maker released preliminary fourth quarter figures that beat projections. Palantir Technologies is up 7.5%. The data analysis company is higher after surging Friday by 25%. Palantir is set to hold its first demo day tomorrow to showcase upgrades to its software. And they have GameStop. Those shares just not stopping. I mean, they're up like 47% in early trading. The video game retailer is higher after more than tripling in the past 2 weeks. The surge has been driven by investor short covering or closing out bets against GameStop. And just to put that in perspective, Nathan, the number of shares borrowed and sold exceeded the total number outstanding, exceeded it as the year began. And I got one more for you.
Okay.
This is a blank check company. It's called TS Innovation Acquisition. It was set up by the real estate investor, Tishman Speyer. It's up 106% after agreeing to buy a property software developer called Latch. The deal values the combined company at $1.6 billion.
Man, these price moves are keeping you so busy, and we're just getting started with earnings. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you, as always, for taking a little bit of time with us and taking a look at stocks as a whole this morning. S&P futures are higher by 13 points. Dow futures up 4, so that's a little change. But NASDAQ futures leading the gains this morning, up 128 points, or almost 1%. And want to pass along this red headline just crossing the Bloomberg terminal moments ago. AMC raises $917 million, sees a financial runway extended deep into 2021. The 10-year treasury right now up 2/32, yield 1.07%. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by your tri-state area Land Rover retailers, introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and S&P and NASDAQ futures are both higher this morning, while Dow futures are moving lower. Let's go to the first word, breaking news desk, for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. That's right. U.S. futures are trading mixed right now, with Dow futures now down 37 points after Merck shut down its COVID-19 vaccine program. S&P futures still up 9. NASDAQ futures climb by 124. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.08%. Gold trading higher by 7. And Shanghai rose 0.5% overnight, while European markets are posting modest losses this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, Chicago Fed, and at 10:30, the Dallas Fed. Regarding earnings this morning, look for a Kimberly-Clark to report around 7:30. And in deal news, Apollo SPAC is said to agree to merge with solar lender Sunlight, and GameStop soars another 48% pre-market. That's after Friday's 51% gain. Wrapping things up, Regeneron was raised to outperform at BMO. Genesis Healthcare cut to underperform at Credit Suisse. And Electronic Arts raised to buy over at Goldman Sachs. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal. And we also want to mention we are watching shares of Merck this morning. They're down about 1.8% in early trading. We just heard Bill mention Merck. It is discontinuing development of its two experimental COVID-19 vaccines. This after early trial data showed they failed to generate immune responses comparable to a natural infection or existing vaccines. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael, good morning.
Good morning, Karen. President Biden is issuing a new COVID-19 travel ban blocking most non-U.S. citizens traveling from South Africa after a new variation of the virus from that country has begun to spread around the world. He is also reinstating the ban on almost all non-U.S. travelers from Brazil, U.K., Ireland, and 26 European countries. President Biden is set to issue an executive order to reverse a Pentagon policy that largely bars transgender individuals from joining the military. It will be the Kansas City Chiefs against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers in the Super Bowl. The Chiefs beat the Buffalo Bills 38-24 to win the AFC title. The Bucs beat the Green Bay Packers 31-26 to win the NFC title. The Super Bowl is February 7th in Tampa Bay. In the NBA, the Knicks and Wizards lost. The Celtics won. NHL action. Devils shut out the Islanders 2-0. The Rangers lost. Capitals lost in a shootout against the Sabres 4-3. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Cloth masks may look better, but they don't work better. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Last spring, as the coronavirus pandemic took hold in the U.S. and hospitals struggled to get enough protective equipment for their workers, it made sense to encourage Americans to wear bandanas, recycled pillowcases, and other cloth face coverings to slow the spread of COVID-19. Nowadays, surgical masks and even N95 respirators are widely available, yet cloth masks are still ubiquitous. That could be a mistake. It's not that cloth masks don't help. An evidence review published this month in the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences concludes that they're probably quite effective at keeping wearers with COVID-19 from spreading the disease. But they don't seem to be as good as surgical masks or respirators at protecting those who wear them. It may be time to move on from cloth. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. And we are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:51 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. as the White House continues to make the case for $1.9 trillion in pandemic relief. Republican Senator Mitt Romney tells Fox News Sunday he's not sure more spending's needed after last month's $900 billion stimulus.
The total figure is pretty shocking, and the idea that we need a stimulus is a little hard to understand, because I'm one of those that's convinced that if you want to see this economy get going, we got to get beyond COVID. If we get beyond COVID, I believe that the economy is going to come roaring back.
But Democratic Senator Amy Klobuchar tells ABC's This Week,
of course we need the funding to get that vaccine distribution out there. We got to stop messing around and get our economy going again. That's what Joe Biden's proposal is about.
Republican support also appears to be dwindling for another impeachment trial against former President Trump. Republican Senator Mike Rounds was on NBC's Meet the Press.
I think it's a moot point, because I think right now Donald Trump is no longer the president. He is a former president.
And in her first extended interview since the end of the Trump administration, former White House coronavirus response coordinator Deborah Birx tells CBS's Face the Nation misinformation abounded in the White House.
I saw the president presenting graphs that I never made. So I know that someone out there or someone inside was creating a parallel set of data and graphics that were shown to the president.
Face the Nation, Meet the Press This Week, and Fox News Sunday can be heard every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio, as can Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter on Monday mornings. Kathleen joins us now. And Kate, let's start with the talks around stimulus, because we know the White House economic advisor had a meeting with a bipartisan group of 16 senators last night. Do we know what came out of that?
Well, I think in it's important to note, first off, that it's a bit of a return to the type of way in which we saw business conducted prior to the Trump administration. Trump wasn't someone who often had bipartisan groups of senators over to the White House. That's something that did happen quite often during the Obama administration. So it seems like a bit of a departure and a return to that. That being said, it sounds like they did field a lot of questions from senators that were there. Concerns about, whether the overall price tag, like we just heard from Mitt Romney, that concern whether the overall price tag is justified, and also questions about whether, the proposal could be broken up into smaller pieces that might be more easily digestible by members of the Senate.
What's the White House timing on stimulus? There's been some talk about possibly passing some portions of it through the simple majority process known as budget reconciliation. Of course, as we saw yesterday, the White House is still trying to get bipartisan support for the current package. So what's the timing right now?
Well, it's a bit up in the air. I think, you know, from the Biden administration's perspective, they want to get something done on stimulus ASAP. That's been their priority from day one. They outlined their stimulus proposal even before Biden was sworn in. And so I think they want to see, you know, if they can get something done quickly. And also the fact that Trump's impeachment trial, the, you know, arguments in that have been pushed back now until, you know, February 8th. I think the sense is that that creates a window to perhaps get something done. Now, whether that's going to be possible remains an open question, but I think that would be the Biden camp's ideal scenario.
Since you brought up the impeachment trial, let's go there next, because we're already seeing some jockeying among the senators who are going to be jurors in a couple weeks here.
Yeah, so we're going to probably see the articles of impeachment come over from the House. That will trigger officially the start of the impeachment trial, but it sounds like through an agreement that Chuck Schumer, the new majority leader, and Mitch McConnell, the Republican leader, agreed to, the arguments won't be presented until the week of February 8th. And so that gives both the House impeachment managers and the Senate, or I'm sorry, and the Trump team chance to prepare, you know, their arguments and their defense respectively. And so, but I think that what we're seeing, and this is the risk for Democrats, you know, both strategically and politically, is, you know, a bit of a waning in the Republican outrage and Republican perhaps appetite for convicting former President Trump. I think as, you know, the days go by and the January 6th sort of fades into the background, there seems to be less of a push or from Republicans, at least, to try to convict a former president.
Bloomberg Politics editor Kathleen Hunter, as always, busy times in the nation's capital. Thanks for unpacking some of what's been going on in Washington for us. And you can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal, and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington at Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. It is 6:56 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology, ranked in the top 2% nationally for alumni mid-career earnings and number one for student upward economic mobility. Learn more at njit.edu. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Depending on which global weather group you listen to, 2020 was either the warmest or near the warmest on record. While NASA and other groups said 2020 passed or essentially tied 2016 as the hottest year on record, more agencies, including the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, says last year came in a close second or third. The differences in rankings mostly turned on how scientists account for data gaps in the Arctic, which is warming faster than the rest of the globe. A cubicle satellite small enough to sit in the palm of your hand is zipping around the world and sending data about radiation to the Louisiana students who designed and built it. The satellite carries a chip designed and built by students at the University of Louisiana at Lafayette to detect radiation. Each side of the satellite is less than 4 inches across. It was among 10 launched last week from a Virgin Orbit rocket. And the Miami Heat is bringing back fans with help from some dogs. The basketball team will use coronavirus-sniffing dogs at American Airlines Arena to screen fans who want to attend their games. Starting this week, a limited number of ticket holders will be in the seats, provided they get past the dogs first. And that's the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. Again, S&P futures are up 8 points, and NASDAQ futures are up 113. Bloomberg Surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.